Today on Hardwired.
Now the Bible is very clear, like take the book of James. James said, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works, because faith without works is dead. In other words, if you've got real true faith in God, it should manifest itself in good works.
You are listening to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire, the founder and senior pastor of Turning Point Church in Fort Worth, Texas. Maybe you've noticed that our culture is pretty messed up these days, which makes people feel anxious and filled with questions. They want peace, but have a hard time finding it or making it last. Well, Pastor Jeff is going to share in the message today about how you can finally be filled with hope, security, and most importantly, that peace you're looking for. We know that you're going to enjoy the message, but you can also listen to it again or any of the messages anytime you would like at our website, hardwired.org. Let's get right to the message. Here's Pastor Jeff to tell us what's coming up today on Hardwired.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to this edition of Hardwired. We're all familiar with the caption at the close of an old Hollywood movie that simply said, "The End." Well, the Bible also lets us know that one day there will be a "The End" to this world as we know it. So that also means there will be a last day, a final 24 hours to our planet before God redoes the whole thing. What will it look like? Well, grab your Bible and follow along as we wrap up our series. I can't wait to share part two of the message, The Last Day. So let's get right to it.
We've been looking at the last days, and today we're going to go a little further than just the last days. We're going to look at the last day. Jesus spoke about the last day, and it's also found in other places in Scripture, but I'm primarily going to look at what Jesus had to say, and then we're going to look at the last day. Pay close attention, grab your Bibles and turn to John chapter 6, verse 39, and we're going to read verses 39 through 44 of John chapter 6, John's Gospel, chapter 6, 39, 44. Grab your Bibles. So here are the words of Jesus on the last day. This is the will of the Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing. That's good news. But should raise it up at the last day. Verse 40. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Verse 41. The Jews then complained about him, which is pretty much all they did, because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 42. And they said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I have come down from heaven? Verse 43. Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. Nobody can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Now in verses 39 through 44 of John 6, Jesus has mentioned that phrase, used that phrase, the last day, three times. So clearly the Lord is distinguishing between the last days, plural, and a last day, singular. Well, what does he mean when he talks about the singular last day? What event was he referring to? Because clearly the Lord had something in mind. Well, Jesus is telling us that the last days, plural, will lead up to a last day, singular. It'll be the last day of earthly life as we have known it. Now that's a powerful word. That's a strong statement, but that's what it's telling us. When Jesus says the last day, I'm going to raise up those who have believed in me on the last day, there's going to be a last day. Clearly, it's a day of incredible, radical change, and earthly life, as we have known it and our ancestors knew it, is going to come to a close on the last day. The Bible says when he comes back, he will land on the Mount of Olives. You can read about this in Zechariah. He will land on the Mount of Olives. The Mount of Olives will cleave east to west. Jesus will, from that vantage point, he will begin to do several things. And let's look at it. The second thing he tells us in this parable, after we're shown Jesus sitting on his throne to rule the world finally, we see that he will judge the nations. So when Jesus returns, it's judgment day. He says in verse 32, all the nations will be gathered before him. Think about that. All the nations, China, Japan, all of Europe, all of America, all the West, England, every nation, Russia, the uttermost North, Iran, Iraq, Egypt, you name it. They're all the Middle East, the Far East, the uttermost North, Russia, the West, including us, all nations will be gathered before Jesus Christ. Think about this. This is powerful stuff. These are the words of our Lord. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. So the Lord's going to make a distinction. Who is his and who isn't? Verse 33, and he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Now, you might be thinking, well, Jeff, how can he do that with everybody in the world? Oh, friend, we're talking about the one who spoke into the dark and said, let there be light, and there was light. The Bible says in the beginning it was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. Nothing that was made except through him. Nothing that was made apart from him. In other words, Jesus, God the Son, was integrally involved in the creation of all things. So as in 6 days, everything that is came into being through the spoken word of God with Christ right there, amening everything that God spoke and the Holy Spirit executing what God spoke, then certainly he can gather all the nations in front of him. And what a frightening day that'll be for those that do not know the Lord, because suddenly there's going to be this divine Savior calling the nations before him from the vantage point of Jerusalem. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Everybody's going to be aware. I'm either in one category or the other. And there's not more than these. There's only one of two choices. You will be a sheep or you will be a goat. You won't be anything else. You're going to be separated and distinguished by the Lord Jesus Christ at his return. Now, it says next that judgment commences. Jesus begins to judge. And what he judges is the genuineness of your faith and mine. The entire world are going to be judged by the genuineness of their faith or the lack thereof. Verse 34, the king will say to those on his right hand, now that includes, this is the church, the born again church, the sheep. Listen to this, this is great news. The king will say to those on his right hand, come you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Wow. What an incredible word. Come, you blessed of my father. Aren't you going to be so glad to hear him looking at you and saying to you, come, you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Enter the kingdom that has been prepared for you before the foundation of the world was even laid. What a powerful word. And now we're going to read in verse 35 how Jesus distinguishes real faith from false faith. He says in verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Well, let me stop here and point out, genuine faith is going to be revealed by the quality of your works. Now, we remember that in 1 Corinthians 3, Paul the Apostle said that the church is going to receive a judgment, but it will not be a judgment for sin because our sins are all forgiven. But it will be a judgment that tries the quality of our works. Did we live for once coming to him, being born again, and coming to know Christ as Savior, what was the quality of our works? What was the quality? Was it a good quality? And Paul said, that good quality is like gold, silver, and precious stones. It'll be tried by fire. and gold, silver, and precious stones, good works that were done for the glory of Christ in his name, to glorify his name in obedience to him. Those kinds of works will survive the fire. But then he said there's another kind of work that won't. And he called them wood, hay, and stubble. Well, we know what happens to wood, hay, or stubble when you put fire on them. They burn up. And Paul said, that'll happen to some people. They came to Christ. They know him as Savior, but they didn't live their life for him. They still live for themselves. They didn't bear much fruit. And their works at the judgment will come under the fire of the judgment of God. And their works will be burned up, yet they will be saved, yet so as by fire. They don't lose their salvation, but they lose rewards. Now, Jesus says here, he said, you're going to be judged for how your faith manifested in good works. Now, the Bible is very clear. Like, take the book of James. James said, show me your faith without works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. Because faith without works is dead. In other words, if you've got real, true faith in God, it should manifest itself in good works. Now, we know that good works don't save us, but good works do attest to the fact that we have been saved. And so here's where Jesus is going. He's saying, I watched the way you treated people in my name. I was in prison. You came to me. And notice how he says, it was me you came to, because I was with those people. I was hurting for those people. I was hungry with them. I was identifying with their plight. And you came to me. Coming to them, you came to me. I was in a hospital. You visited me and brought me words of encouragement. You did it to the least of one of these, my brethren. You did it to me. I was hungry. You fed me. I didn't have any clothes. You clothed me. And Jesus said again, inasmuch as you did it to the least of these, you did it to me. Now, he's using a parable to make a point that when he comes, one of the ways he's going to know whether or not you were a sheep or a goat is by how you treated others in his name. So he's using that as sort of a litmus test, all right? And he goes on to say that many are going to be shocked when they realize that they didn't make it. Many are going to be shocked. There's going to be a shock factor at the second coming of Christ when he gathers all the nations in front of him, separates sheep from goats, and says to the sheep, those on his right hand, you clothed me, you fed me, you came to me, you visited me, you encouraged me, you prayed for me, you talked to the needy about me. And when you did it for them, you did it for me. So that will be a sign of your faith.
Before Pastor Jeff comes back to wrap things up for us today, I'd like to share a couple of important things with you. Let me encourage you to take a minute and check out our website, hardwired.org. You'll find today's program along with all of Pastor Jeff's messages. There's a growing list of great things to check out at the site. So hop on over and check it out, hardwired.org. That's hardwired.org. And be sure to tell your friends about the program. We know you're being blessed by it. I'm sure your friends will be as well. We're here to reach as many people for the Lord as we can. So getting the word out will help us on this mission. And that's what this program is all about. And Pastor Jeff's back now for the conclusion of today's program.
But now he's about to talk to the goats. And with the goats, we're about to see a shock factor. So let's read it. Matthew 25:41. Then he will also say to those on the left hand, depart from me. Oh, what horrible words. What terrible words. I can't think of worse words. To hear the Lord Christ, the Lord Jesus, in Jerusalem, from Jerusalem, returned as King of Kings, Lord of Lords, as the reigning Messiah, taking over the earth, saying to me, depart from me. And it gets worse. You cursed, or you that are being cursed, is the way the Greek reads, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Oh, what a somber moment this is, friend. Listen to this now. You got those on the right hand, the sheep. Now you've got those on the left. He has divided the nations of the world and the people that are in those nations. And now he's looking at untold numbers of people and saying to them, depart from me, you that are being cursed, into fire, everlasting fire, prepare for the devil and his angels. Now it amazes me when people come along and say, well, the Bible doesn't really talk about hell, or hell is just symbolic. It's not a real place. And God would never really send anybody to hell like, these conservative Christians say that he will. Really? We're reading the words of Jesus here. And I want to point out, I'm going to just pause a moment here because this is so serious. I want to point out that nobody described hell more graphically than did Jesus Christ. If we were reading the Greek language, here's the way it would read. Depart from me, you that are being cursed, into the fire eternal. Into the fire, ages without end. Into the fire eternal. Aeonis, the ages without end. There's no getting around this statement from Jesus, the judgment day is coming, and there is a hell. Jesus, in another place, described it as where the fire is not quenched, where the worm never dies, where there is no relief, there is no respite, there is no moment where the suffering stops. And I believe this because I believe the words of the Lord Jesus. I can't comprehend it with my mind. It's even hard for me to comprehend eternal life, much less eternal damnation, eternal suffering, where there is no end to it. Never. Aeonis, age upon age upon age. The suffering goes on, takes place. No intermission, no stop, no rest, no respite. Jesus said, this is what he will say to many, many people when he returns in the second advent. Now, if you've been made right with God through the shed blood of Jesus Christ, let's remember what he said. He will say to you, come, those being, now I'm reading how it would read straight out of the Greek language. If I were to just open up a Greek text and read it to you and transliterate it into English, here's the way it would read. Come, those being blessed of the Father of me, inherit the having been prepared for you kingdom from the foundation of the world. Now read it again. What great words. Come, those being blessed of the Father of me, inherit the having been prepared for you kingdom from the foundation of the world. That's what we're going to hear, those of us who have placed our faith in Christ and his shed blood. But if you haven't come to Christ to have your sins forgiven, then you're going to hear something totally different. You will be sent into the fire eternal. And there is no in between. There's no purgatory. There's no soul sleep. There's no second chance. It's given unto a man to die once, and after this comes the judgment, the book of Hebrews says. So we need to take these words of our Lord very, very seriously. He is answering the question, what will be the sign of the end of the age, of the last day? What is the last day going to be like, Lord? And he's telling us here in this parable, this is what the last day is going to be like. All these last days that we're in are leading up to this last day. Jesus also tells the lost, the goats, how their works betray their lack of genuine salvation. Verse 42, he flips the coin on the lost and he says, I was hungry, you didn't give me any food. I was thirsty, you didn't give me any drink. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison and you did not visit me. Now again, let me reiterate, he's not saying that by these works or lack of them, you are saved. He's saying these works or the lack of them attest to the fact of whether or not you did get saved, all right? Now fifth, we see that the lost are going to protest. The lost are going to protest, verse 44. Then they will answer him, the goats, the lost, saying, Lord, when do we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you? And Jesus will answer emphatically. He will say to them, assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. Now listen to the words of Christ in verse 46. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's it. one direction or the other, one destiny or the other, no other option, no other place, no other direction or way, no other outcome. These are it. Into everlasting destruction and punishment, or into everlasting life and joy eternal. And in another place, the Lord said that there are going to be people who are going to say to him, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we do many good things in your name? Didn't we heal the sick, raise the dead? Didn't we cast out devils? Didn't we do many things, Lord, in your name? And Jesus will look at them and say, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you. These people are in this goat bunch right here. They're shocked that they're not saved. They're saying, Lord, we did all the right things. But Jesus tells the real story. You didn't know me. I didn't know you. And I want to tell you, dear church, as we end, come to the close of this message, I believe there are so many people out there right now teaching in the name of Christ. Out there, I don't know, feigning to do works in his name. Jesus this and Jesus that, and the Lord bless you, and they're teaching, and yet when you listen to them, it's all about money, it's all about fame, it's all about extracting your last dollar from you, it's getting your money with false promises, and you can tell that they are using the gospel, using the name of Christ to get rich, to fatten themselves financially, and out there acting like they're doing miracles in his name. And in the end, there's always that hook, send in your money. I believe there's so many people out there. They're going to be among this goat crowd. They're going to be shocked when the Lord separates them to the left and not to the right. It's time we got back to the Word of God. It's so time for us to get back to Scripture and the preaching that used to be preached. You must be born again. You've got to walk with him. If you're really his, you're going to bear fruit. If you're really his, you're going to glorify him. If you really belong to the Lord, it's going to show. And it's not about getting a bunch of money from people you're fleecing, but it's about glorifying Christ and living the Christian life, picking up your cross daily and following him, dying to yourself, glorifying him, living for him. For me to live as Christ, to die as gain, that kind of mentality. Not what can I get, what can he do for me? And we view God as some kind of divine bellhop, because he's not. Now, I want to close with one final thought. On that last day, what will our God say to us on that great judgment day when all of us stand before him? Let me tell you what I believe he won't say as we close out. Here's what he won't say. He will not ask you how much did you make or acquire? He won't say how many. He won't say how big. He won't say how great. He won't say how beautiful. He won't say how magnificent. No, he will ask you one question, and this is the question that will matter to everybody on that day. What did you do with Jesus Christ? Did you reject him? Did you accept him? Did you spurn him? Did you receive him? Did you ignore him? Did you pay attention to him? Did you turn your life over to him and allow his blood to cover your sins and his spirit to fill your heart? Or did you play a game, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof? My prayer for every one of you watching right now or later listening by radio. Many are listening by radio right now. You're in rush hour traffic. You are in different parts of the United States of America. And you tuned in, maybe even by mistake, and I'm asking you, what have you done with Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Have you considered that the most important decision you'll ever make is what you do with Jesus? My prayer is that you will turn to him, accept him, embrace him, and walk with him. Because friends, soon and very soon, the last day will arrive, and Jesus is coming back.
We appreciate you listening today to Hardwired with Pastor Jeff Wickwire. Every program we do has one main thing in mind, and that's to share the hope and good news of Jesus Christ to people who need to hear this message and hardwire the teaching into their daily life. That's what this ministry is all about. So if you've been encouraged by the message, we would love to hear about it. Pick up your phone and give us a call at 877-884-3111. That's 877-884-3111. Or go online to our website at hardwired.org. And be sure to bookmark the web address to your favorites folder so you can come back often. Also, would you consider getting on board with us as a faithful ministry partner? Your valuable contribution makes a big difference to us in helping to get the message of the gospel out through this program to people everywhere. Your generosity, along with this ministry, is reaching people in a way that you may never have the ability to do on your own. So jump on board as a Hardwired partner by calling us at 877-884-3111 or go online to hardwired.org, 877-884-3111 or hardwired.org. From the bottom of our hearts, thank you so very, very much. Have a great rest of the day, and thanks for listening to Hardwired.